This is a Talking Digital production. Find more great podcasts at talkingdigital.org.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, let's do one of those shows where we don't talk.
Let's just sit here and stare at our computer screens.
Yeah.
I'm going to browse the iMac store.
Good. Is it live right now?
I think so.
Oh, I thought it was going live around noon or something. Maybe it was midnight.
I don't know. I'm looking.
Okay.
Because it wasn't on there. Oh, there it is, App Store. Okay, the Mac store is not open yet, Adam. It's still got the iPhone and the iPad.
I gotcha.
So maybe it is going to go live later today.
Is our heater on? Did you turn it off?
It went off by itself.
I know, but it'll come back on as soon as the temperature drops if we don't.
Well, I'm wondering if we want the...
I'm all for it. That's fine.
We'll keep it on.
Yeah, that's cool. It's cold in here. I looked at curtains last night. I was going to get some curtains.
That'll
in
help
here.
On it.
It will help.
Curtains, or are you going to get blinds?
I'm going to get blinds.
Yeah. Blackout expensive. Blinds?
No, I'm hoping so, but I'm not sure I want to pay $100+ per window, $200.
For those small windows, it'd be that much?
Because they're custom.
Can you find them online?
I'm going to start looking. I went shopping everywhere yesterday.
No, Adam, I'm sitting in Adam's podcast shack.
Speaking
here.
Of blinds.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sitting in Adam's podcast shack, and he's got a horrific broken glass carnage here. And for not glass in his windows, but his glasses, his eyeglasses.
Right.
His spectacles. And when I was in Tucson with my brother, we went to Zenni Optical. I think I told you about Zenni Optical.
Yeah, I've seen them,
He got three pairs of glasses that with the sunglasses clip-ons.
Right.
$49.
Wow.
Three pairs.
Jeez.
Complete.
Nice glasses? Outdated frames or are they cheap frames?
No. He wanted the titanium for two of them. He got the titanium.
Oh my gosh.
The titanium bendable.
Wow.
You know, those kind.
Uh-huh.
And then he did get a pair of plastic lenses or plastic frames or do you call that?
Whatever.
Carbonite.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
No, it's not.
It's not carbonite.
That's
and I'm
different.
Not promoting carbonite. So
no.
Just throw out of mind.
It's something else.
Kryptonite. Polycarbonate.
Yeah.
It is.
Composite. It's composite. Let's just call it composite. That's what we call it.
But they've really improved it since I bought my eyeglasses on Zenni Optical because now you can try on every single pair.
Oh, you can put a picture of yourself in there?
That's right. You take a picture with your webcam, put it on there, and you can sit there and try on as many pairs as you want.
That's fantastic.
So he went through it on his own, and he picked about 10 or 12 that he liked.
Mm-hmm.
And then he called me and his wife and I in.
Uh-huh.
And so he'd try on each pair, you know, virtually through the computer,
right.
And we'd say, scratch that, we like that, scratch that. And so we narrowed it down to like five.
Yeah.
And then he went through it again, we went through it again, and he narrowed it down to three. And it was incredible. I think the most expensive pair was $29, and that was the titanium pair.
Right. Wow.
And now it takes about 3 weeks to get them.
Sure.
Because they're coming
from
China.
India. Oh, China.
Okay. Yeah, they come from China. But very cool. And
there
they really improved the website.
Wow, cool.
So for those extra pairs,
I may do it for the extra pairs.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Because then you won't be without.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because if you're any... I know you're not as blind as I am.
No, I'm not very blind. My optometrist guy tells me that most people with my prescription don't even
get glasses.
Choose to wear glasses because they're too expensive. But I like to see people's faces
clearly
from 20 feet away, you know.
And that's when your distance starts breaking
down?
Yeah,
at least. Yeah. It might even be a little closer than that. But you know, like...
Am I fuzzy today?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you are, but you're not unrecognizable. You know, and I could live with that.
Yeah.
But it's the point where I'm like, do I even know who that person is? What if I know that person and I'm looking at them and they wonder why I'm staring at them? Or
because I'm trying to
because they look a little bit like my sister, but I can't tell because they're that far away. And you know, and so yeah, it's interesting.
But
so.
Yeah, Zenni Optical, I really like it. There's another Life Hacker actually did an article. On using the web to get cheap spectacles.
Right.
And I'm going to just call them spectacles.
Yeah, spectacles is a good name. A monocle is what I'm hoping to get. I only need it for one eye. So
there's something on, what's on the web with Keanu Reeves in a monocle? Have you seen that? It's almost
that.
Like a meme right now.
No,
I've seen
I haven't seen
everywhere.
Nope.
And so I don't know. Anyway, you got me off on the monocle. But yeah, it's Zenni Optical is worth looking into.
Right.
Zenni Optical.com.
Cool. Very
cool. Anyway, they don't pay me to advertise, but I think that.
Hey, why not?
I think they should.
Let somebody know what's going on. Well, cool.
I'd only charge them about 15 cents a click.
There you go. Well, good deal.
All right, so.
You know, there should be a lot going on right now for us to talk about. By the way, do you want to introduce the show?
Oh, we could introduce the show. This is the Rick and Adam Talk About Technology show.
Yeah, there you go.
What did we decide it was?
I don't know what we called it.
I think the HelpMeRick.com podcast.
I think Castellini on Computers is still awesome, but, you know, it's up to you. Okay. Or whatever you want to call it.
All right, we'll still call it that.
Okay.
Adam and I are also a little out of sorts because, A, it's the first new year and we're just getting into this. B, we are both missing CES this year.
Yeah.
You didn't go last year.
I did go last year.
You did go last year.
I went last year. I didn't go the year before that, but I went the 6 years before that. So. Right. So out of the last 10 years, I've only missed two.
Okay. So I forgot that you went last year.
Yeah.
But you said it wasn't anything super last year.
And you know, last year was the year of the e-reader.
Uh-huh.
And so everybody was showing off their e-readers.
Uh-huh.
And e-readers, since they're only made to read books, they just can't be that exciting. The iPad was new, but no, you know, there wasn't anything going on. In fact, everybody was wondering what Steve Jobs was going to announce in a few weeks, and I forget what the iPhone... Was that the iPhone 4 that was coming out at that time? I forget.
Correct.
But, you know, all sorts of stuff was... There were more rumors going on about Apple, and...
But not a lot happening
and
there.
And CES was okay. It was much better than it was the year that CES only had GPS devices.
Yeah.
That was the worst year, I think, of all the CES. But last year was okay. In fact, last year I saw Stan Lee, so that made CES worth...
Oh, and I remember that. Okay.
That made CES worth going to.
Very cool. Well, this year there's tons of tablet stuff.
This year has
out.
Got three things going on for it. I mean, it has a lot happening.
Tablet.
Tablet is going on. You have a lot of smart TV. Smart TV, and you know, I don't get excited about 3D TV, but
either.
I do get excited when expensive technologies start becoming affordable. And there is and the 3D TV has made at least a 20% price cut for the premium of getting 3D, which puts it down there. You can get a cheap 3D TV for about the same cost as, you know, a mid-range non-3D HD TV. So I do like seeing those things happen because I think 3D is going to be built into every TV, whether you like it or not. So it's nice to see the price come down.
Hopefully it'll knock down the price of regular TVs.
Right.
Which it probably would.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of people are saying that, you know, that this year being the year of the tablet, you know, is also the year of Android too. That Android is
What's pushing those tablets.
Samsung, I think, yesterday announced an Android MP3 player to compete with the iPod Touch.
Really?
So there's, you know, there's a lot of stuff happening with Android.
It's going to be a big transitional year for mobile devices.
The other thing too is Intel and AMD are both announcing major changes to their chips that are designed so that you'll be able to run standard operating systems on small devices and also run mobile operating systems on larger devices. So it's you know, everybody's predicting this tablet trend, and you know, I'm anxious to see where it ends up. I don't know.
Well, I just found out, Adam, on the Apple Mac Store, it is live, but you have to update your operating system to 10.6.6.
Oh, okay.
So once you do that, then it'll bring in the apps. Or I guess that's so that you can run the apps.
Wow, okay.
So
I just updated everything yesterday, so I might actually be able to see it. I don't know. But I know there were updates to iLife and iWork both yesterday.
Oh, were there?
To prepare everything for it.
Because you're running the newest OS on your Mac, right?
Yep.
Cool. Yep. So I'm going to leave that in my inbox so I remember to do it. But I think... I am excited. I was talking to someone last night that with the tablets, you know, people are very excited about the iPad, and I have not met someone that's unhappy with the iPad.
Yeah.
And it seems that, you know, we're hearing this stuff about the new tablets and those kinds of things, and I'm holding my hands up for the listeners.
Yeah, there's hands in the air.
But
they're about...
My one hand is at my forehead.
Okay, yeah.
My other hand is at my navel.
Right.
And you're
about 8 feet tall, so that's about 4 feet.
There's a big distance. My forehand hand is Apple.
Right.
The other hand is everyone else.
Okay.
In terms of tablets.
Okay.
And now with this new release, you know, they're talking about they're closing the gap. So now the tablets from other people have come up to my mouth.
Right.
And iPad is right at my forehead. Yeah. But I think when I really have a good feeling about the second generation
iPad
of the iPad
2 is going to be
it's going to be pushed out even further.
Yeah,
and,
I agree.
It just seems like people play catch up, and I don't know if they'll leapfrog or not.
Yeah,
I always hope that'll be the case.
You hope so.
I want
but
a good device.
You hope so, but at the same time, it is really hard to beat the Apple Store, the App Store. I mean, that's what makes any iDevice what it is that App Store,
right?
And
And controlling, as much as people give them a hard time, controlling that eco culture is...
As an Android user, and I love my Android, I would never go away from my Android as long as they stay as good as they are. Mm-hmm. But here's one of the things. Every time you buy an app, you have to read the reviews and make sure that somebody with your phone has used it and given it and said
a good test.
It works on the such and such device, or it lists it, or at least read the notes and where it lists the devices it
so
works on.
So there's enough play between the devices.
Yeah, or when you
something may work on this but not on that.
Right. And the fact that you have Android 2.1, well, you have 1.6 out there somewhere that some people are using.
Some first
but
device.
You have 2.1, 2.2, 2.3, and then 3.0 is on the way.
Right.
You know, you have that much play in there. You never know for sure. You have to read in the notes. Okay, does it work with Android 2.1 on the
Evo
or whatever? And you have to look and make sure that it'll work under your
specs. Is there a site that does that? I know they have a couple of apps.
Well, they do it in their notes. Every app, when you look in the notes, it says this app works on these devices.
Oh, it does.
And this operating system. It doesn't always list every single device, but at least if it says it works on this operating system. Mm-hmm. And if I look for a same gen device, like if I look for I have the Samsung Epic, if I look and see the HTC Evo on there, then I know they're about the same gen and chances are it's going to run pretty well as long as they're both running Android 2.2 or 2.1 or whatever. So
that's cool.
That's what Apple's getting away from is my point, is they're not, you don't have to say, does this work on my iPad? My One. Samsung iPad, as well as it works on my HTC iPad, you don't have to mess with that. It's all Apple.
What's the small people that are making tablets?
Penn Digital or one of those.
Yeah, one of those ones that's selling at Kmart for $89.
Yeah.
I did go to Google's website last night from Twitter, and because they were talking about the web or the Android 3.0.
Sure.
And they had a little demo there. It was a pretty poor demo, I thought, for Google. It was almost like the BlackBerry demo back in the fall when BlackBerry was demoing their tablet.
Which was announced this week. Yep.
Did they announce a release date
with
for it?
With Sprint. Well, they announced that it's going to be Sprint. No date.
No
date. That
dates.
I can see. Unless it's immediately. So, headed this summer.
Yeah. See, I'm still wondering, does that ever come to the light of day? I mean, that's going to be almost a year after they announced the first
announcement. I think it's possible. I think it's certainly possible because I know QNX has a lot of developers, the operating system that it runs on. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of developers. They have a lot of people who are passionate about it. I think that it could come, but it really has to be perfect when it hits the shelves.
I was going to say, if we have Android 3.0 hidden, hope we'll see if it happens soon. And if we have the iPad 2 coming out hopefully soon, you know.
But the one thing you have with RIM is you have a bunch of loyal people that will never leave their devices. And you're right, they may not sell, 3 million the first week or something like that. But if they sell to 75% of every RIM user because it's told that their BlackBerry will interface with it better. And it is interesting when one of the things they show off is the next gen BlackBerry and this RIM playbook. You're going to be able to move, like, say, a PowerPoint presentation or a contact, simply just fling it, and it will fling over to your iPad, to your other device, and you'll be able to move them back and forth. And it's supposed to, I mean, QNX, from what I understand, has done that for about 5 years, and so it's not a hard thing to implement into there because they've had it set up.
But you'd have both devices,
So, it's hard to say what will happen.
It'll be interesting. Now, but the other thing was about the Android 3 demo that I watched. They say it's only for tablets, so I'm not sure.
It requires a dual core processor, from what I understand.
Okay, so it's not ready yet. Maybe they'll have a hybrid version for phones.
I don't know, or they might come up with
By summer, the phones will have dual core processors.
They already are announcing them.
Are they really for mobile? Yeah.
Yep.
That's amazing.
So it's... Yeah, I'm going to reboot here and we'll see what happens.
Well, we won't do it yet. I was going to promote our Facebook fan page, but we'll wait till we can get a URL that
yeah,
we can actually get
that's
to.
That's a good idea. Wait till we get 2 more followers or something.
I think I had some people drop off this year because there's nothing happening.
Oh, yeah. No, that so. Makes sense. Yeah. The few people who drop friends.
Yeah.
Do you unfriend people very often? You don't even go to Facebook much.
I don't even friend
much.
People.
I go through about once every 3 months and
I haven't added
everybody.
I added one new friend, Jody Bourne.
Oh, yeah.
It was the only person I've sure. added in probably the last
sure.
8 months.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I add businesses more often than I add people now.
Yeah.
So I like to add the local businesses and see what they're
up to. I just use Twitter. Twitter seems to
right.
fit my lifestyle the best.
I think it fits my lifestyle very well.
Yeah.
I just think that a lot of businesses, local businesses,
mm-hmm.
don't understand Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're using Facebook to,
are they
to make
stuff
their announcements.
There?
Oh, yeah. I find out about stuff fairly often, especially during Christmas. There were a lot of sales and a lot of restaurants giving it, you know, 2-for-1 entrees and stuff like that, that I was
that
glad
you found
that I had
Facebook.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so.
That's cool. Well, Adam is doing a live update here.
I am
10.6.
Doing my
update. 6. I think it's 0.6, wasn't it? 0.6, 0.6.
I think so. I think that's what it was.
Well, you know what we should do is let's answer some email.
Okay.
While we're waiting for your computer to reboot. And we have a few emails stacking up here since we have not been in studio for a while. Now, oh, the other thing, Adam, if you will send me, well, you can't send me an email. You got to help me remember next week, I believe next Wednesday, is our evening show on KFM.
Yes.
And I thought I put it as a repeating event on my phone.
And you didn't.
But apparently I didn't. In fact, somebody asked me, when are you on the air?
And you said,
And I couldn't remember what Tuesday that was.
I got it right here. Second Wednesday.
From 5 to 6.
From 5:30 to 6:30.
Oh, 5:30 to 6:30. All right. Okay, good. So I've got to write that down on my calendar.
Yes.
In fact, I'm going to do it right now. Well, I can't do it right now on the air, so I'll never be able to talk and type at the same time. So,
that's okay.
So
that's
instead,
what this podcast is all about.
I'm going to go, since we've been gone for a while, I'm going to do oldest to newest.
Okay.
We're not going to fool around with the email today. We're going to go oldest to newest.
No one will even know.
And the oldest one is from November 16th.
Okay.
And this is Suman from Mumbai.
Oh, yeah.
And we might answer this, and I didn't delete it. It says, I need to insert a new button into the toolbar in Outlook Express. From there, I want to set a hyperlink to attach my files.
I don't remember that, but it's very possible.
Okay. It says, the feature is available in Outlook, but I need the same feature in Outlook Express. But in... He just wants the toolbar in Outlook Express. There is a little you might not have your window enlarged large enough because there is a paperclip on the toolbar.
Right.
Now you may not have the toolbar showing either. So in that case, click View and then go to Toolbars.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in the Compose part of Outlook Express.
Right.
But then once you're there, the attachment little paperclip is a standard tool on that toolbar. So I think that's maybe what one of those two things has happened, Suman.
Wanted to attach it. Maybe I missed that. I thought he was wanting to put a hyperlink.
Well, he says, I want a hyperlink to attach my files. So I think what he...
Oh, I see. He wants like a button or a tool to be able to attach. Well, you know,
so
one thing that's
paperclip.
With most versions of Outlook now, you can just click on the attachment and drag it in. I mean, if it's a file, you can just drag it into the email and it will attach it.
Yeah.
So that's another option. So
true.
Maybe not.
All right. Next question is from Sue in Grand Junction. I went back to MSN Mail,
yeah.
Rick, and I need to delete my Gmail account, and the directions are not working. Can you help? She wanted to delete their Gmail account.
And okay.
If you go into account settings, boy, I can't believe she's going back to MSN email. I don't know who Sue is.
Sue, don't do it, Sue.
Yeah, don't. And
don't go to MSN at least.
Well, MSN Hotmail has been just hacked up the wing wing the last 3 or 4 months. Oh,
yeah.
I got to tell you about the other thing.
okay.
But here, you know what I'm going to do, Adam, is we're going to search and see. There should be a way to, I think you just go to your account settings. You log into your account.
I know it's in there somewhere.
You go to settings.
And then there's something like don't use, and it's not worded like delete your account. It's worded like don't use Gmail anymore or something like that.
Well, that's my standard answer. I usually tell people just don't use it.
Yeah, just stop using it. Don't worry about it. Just let the junk come in and tell everybody else your new email address. Don't switch to MSN. In fact, I would say if you're going to switch to somebody and for some odd reason you don't want to use Gmail, what would you say is the number two? Yahoo, probably?
I'd go Yahoo.
Yeah,
Yahoo's
probably.
I think. How about you?
That's what I would do.
Would you go Yahoo?
Yeah, Yahoo's good email. Yahoo's, and it's worldwide and all of that. I think it's pretty secure. I don't know how their spamming system works. I haven't used them in a few years.
Yeah, here, it's actually a very simple process. All you do is you go log into your account and go to Gmail, sign in, go to settings and accounts, and then you click my account. Well, actually, this is even easier. We'll take you one step closer. Go into google.com. In the upper right-hand corner, click sign in. And then sign into your account, and then you're going to see an option that says My Account. Click there. Then you're going to click Edit next to Services. There's going to be an option that says Services, and you're going to click Edit. And one of the options there is to delete a service. And in there, you see an option to close your account. So it's very simple. Go to google.com, sign in, go to My Account, go to My Services, go to delete a service, and then close account. So it should be pretty simple.
Nice.
And if you just search for how to delete Google account on Google, you will find that. So
I was wrong. So it does just say close account.
I guess so.
There you go. It's easy enough.
According to WikiHow.
WikiHow?
Okay, this one's from Ashton.
That's my rap.
In Idaho.
Okay, go ahead.
My wife's name is Demi. No, it's just Ashton and Meeker.
Oh, it could be the same one. You might have a summer home in Meeker.
He could.
You get a chance, to, those of you who don't know Meeker, Colorado, you might want to go over to Google Map it and see the many splendors that exist there in Meeker, Colorado.
That's true. And this is a question I think that you'll could be more in your bailiwick
because okay,
you're
I'm
a
ready.
Photo guy.
All right.
Have you ever tried the FastStone Image Viewer?
No.
He says, if you haven't, you need to try it. It is by far the best, smallest, and easiest to use free image viewer and organizer around.
It's good to have in your, it sounds like a good one to have in your toolkit, maybe.
Yeah, FastStone Viewer. I'm surprised you haven't heard of it. Oh, Wi-Fi is down.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. but I did want to talk about, I've run into this twice in the last week, 1 week. There is a new scam out there where these tech support people from India, one time was in India, one time was in Philippines, they will call you on the telephone. Have you heard this, Adam?
I don't know. Keep going. So far, I've seen
they will
like this.
Call you on the phone. Just out of nowhere, you'll get a phone call. And the person will say, you have a virus on your computer.
Oh, my gosh.
Have you heard this?
I have. It sounds familiar. Somebody calls you up
out of the blue.
Yep.
And they said, you have a virus on your computer and we need to get it off of there right away. And usually the people that they've called, well, at least the people that I've researched online and the two people that happened to me here locally, is they are calling senior citizens. And these folks get a little bit flustered and they go to their computer. And they say, well, if you let us access your computer, we'll show you the virus. And so they get on, do a remote access. Remote access is very easy these days.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they show them, which I'm assuming is a web page, that shows them that they have 2,000 viruses.
Wow.
So then the person panics more, and they say, for $122 and 22 cents, we can remove that.
Oh, good. Well, how nice of them.
So what does the unsuspecting senior do? They say, well, by gosh, I don't want that on my computer.
That. Yeah.
So yeah, here's my credit card. So they give them the credit card. They're charged $122. The person sits on their computer for over an hour, puts CCleaner on it. They download CCleaner,
which
is a legit program.
Right.
They run it, and that always makes things look impressive because it says you've deleted 25,000 files that it's never been run before or more.
Yep.
And then they sit there and fiddle around. And in this case of this one lady, she sat there and watched them for 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then she decided she had to go somewhere. She was late for an appointment.
No way.
She left them connected to her computer and left the home.
Oh, my gosh.
And she was gone for a couple hours, so who knows how long they were on her computer.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's you've got to watch. If you get a phone call out of nowhere, there is no way. There is zero, unless you have given someone permission to monitor your computer remotely at all times.
Yeah.
There is not a technology available for someone to call you out of the blue and say, we've detected a virus on your system.
Right.
That technology does not exist.
Yeah.
On the upcoming BlackBerry, you can swipe things from one device to another.
Right.
But it does not exist in the real world yet there or even on computer.
Well, even then, yeah. I mean, that's a whole different thing.
But that's scary, Adam.
It is.
That is and very nefarious. Boy.
Yes.
Very, very crazy. Oh, did you find the Fast Stone image?
I did find it, and it looks pretty slick. It looks kind of like the early versions of AC/DC. Yeah. It's basically you can look has a like a Windows Explorer window up in the top left, so you can find the folder that you want to look in. You click on it, shows you thumbnails of all the pictures in there. It looks okay for if you're going and just browsing through your images. The thing I was thinking, I thought it was like the Windows viewer where you can just right click on a picture and say open with, or when you double click on a picture, it would associate with it. So I don't know. It looks okay. I still like Picasa better, but Picasa's file management system, I can understand people getting a little frustrated with that because
you're lost in it.
Yeah, it's hard to see where your pictures are being stored because it looks all over the computer and finds them all.
Well, and so many people still feel like that their pictures are in three places.
Yeah.
Which is
kind
of funny. But anyway, beware of those phone calls.
Yes.
Please beware. Okay, we're going to finish up this segment of question answering with Kelly from Hawaii. Kelly says, I have a question about Adobe X. I am running Vista, and then she puts in parentheses, yuck, I know, 32-bit on my PC. I can view a document in the web browser, but when I try to print or save, nothing happens.
Mm.
I have uninstalled, reinstalled, and even did the repair from the help menu on Adobe, but it still won't do anything. Adobe X is the newest rendition of Adobe Reader from Adobe. And my suggestion to Kelly and anyone within earshot of this podcast is to uninstall Adobe Reader. Get rid of it. Don't go to 10. Don't use 9.
Right.
Don't use 8. Uninstall it. And instead, go to helpmerick.com. Go to the links in the very upper left of this, or the very first page. And I want you to download and use Foxit Reader. Foxit Reader is much smaller, much faster, does everything Adobe Reader does, and it does it better and quicker. So that's my suggestion for Kelly in Hawaii. And if you are hearing the heater speaking Hawaii...
Yeah, you're just going to have to deal with that.
You're going to have to deal with it because it's 7 degrees outside here where we are doing our podcast. And Adam does have a nice little podcast shack, but...
Seven degrees.
Exactly.
Yeah,
seven degrees.
It's nice that when you get in here, it's like 40 or 50. You know, I mean, that's pretty nice. But
hey, I've it is. It's very comfortable in here, but we have to leave the heater on to make it comfortable.
Right.
Adam, here's a very cool. I found a neat new. In fact, I might send it to you if you're interested. There's a place out there called Business Insider. Have you seen that?
I've heard of it. Uh-huh.
It's kind of a. More, as the name suggests, more financial stuff.
Sure.
But they have a newsletter called, that they send out 3 to 4 times a week, 10 things in tech that you need to know.
Oh.
And one of them today is Steve Ballmer gave the CES keynote last night.
Yep.
And his message, here's his message.
Okay,
Windows everywhere and on everything. Also, Connect is amazing.
Oh, wow.
That's what they titrated his keynote down to.
Wow.
I think that's pretty funny.
I heard, I don't know if you've seen, I don't want to get into video game news too much, but there's a lot of people thinking that the Kinect is breaking their Xboxes. Have you seen that? That the Kinect is breaking Xboxes?
No.
Yeah. Anyway,
it's breaking the hardware or something?
Yeah, Microsoft won't admit to it, but they're having a lot of system meltdowns.
Really?
And they're blaming the Kinect, yeah.
Wow.
So it'll be interesting to see what's doing it, but Microsoft...
Heat or something? Would it be heat, maybe? Because
it
the
could
Kinect
be,
requires so
it could
much...
be too much, yeah, requiring too much power, and the Xbox has always had problems with that stuff, so...
So those little, what are they called, red rings of death?
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's what it's causing. I haven't read the details. I've only seen, if you look at the headlines, news headlines, it says, Kinect tied to Xbox failures. And then the other headlines are Microsoft denies Kinect tied to Xbox failures. And wow. It's interesting. There's a lot of headlines about it.
Hey, now here's another thing in my 10 things you need to know. It's another. This one's about Apple. It said Apple is prohibiting its retail employees from taking off the last week in January through the first 2 weeks in February.
Yep.
Mandatory work is always something that piques people's interest when it comes to any of the tech people.
Yeah, and that's exactly in harmony with when Apple's expected to release iPad 2, so
yeah,
or announce it. A lot of people say it won't hit the shelves till April.
But if this is true,
yeah,
if this is truly one of the 10 things we need to know in tech,
yeah,
it could mean something.
Very, yeah.
Because I don't think they've already released all their new Macs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, well, the iPad 2 is coming out. I mean, yeah. I don't know if you've seen, but even at CES, people are finding iPad covers that aren't fitting their iPads.
It's a little smaller?
It's not that it's smaller. It's that they've taken away... The iPad is flat on the edges, right, like the iPhone 4,
right,
and then is kind of beveled on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these new pads that they're finding, these covers that they're finding, are tapered all the way, like bezeled on the edges and flat on the bottom.
Hmm.
And they also have extra holes for ports, but they're all uniform. One company even has an aluminum mock-up of an iPad that doesn't, you know, it's shaped totally different.
Same size
different.
Screen, though, so, you're thinking?
Is same size screen, yeah.
They, so you don't think they're going to drop screen. The size?
Not yet, not yet. But I think that's coming because Apple also contracted for a whole bunch of screens from Samsung. I forget what it was, a $50 million contract or something like that. I'll have to look it up. But so they are scheduling a whole bunch of new glass for new iPads, but anytime they do that, you have to figure that's not for this generation of device. That's for a future generation of device. And Samsung loves making those 7-inch, that 7-inch glass.
Best so, size.
So that's certainly worth predicting.
I will tell you that undoubtedly, I'm assuming that the new iPad's going to have a front-facing camera.
Yep, it will.
Mm-hmm. And they just Skype just
and
released,
rear facing, yeah,
yeah, I'm probably rear facing. Yep. Skype just released the new version of their mobile product for iPhone,
mm-hmm.
and you can do video calls over 3G and Wi-Fi, of course.
Right.
Amazing.
Yeah,
it really really works well.
Yeah,
I was talking to my brother the other day through the iPhone.
Cool.
He got me one of those little stands I can put this on.
Yeah.
And so you can sit it there, yeah, or you can hold it up, and then sure, you can reverse the phone.
Uh-huh.
You can reverse the camera. If you want to show, yep, them something, you can, mm-hmm, just, well, obviously you can just turn it around. But if you want to continue to see them,
sure,
you can show them the back camera or the front camera. Very cool. Now, I don't know if they've released that for Android yet, have they?
Android has a Skype available, but it's one of them that only works on certain phones.
Okay.
And so
I'm wondering if it does video calls yet on Android.
It was doing them.
Oh, it already was?
Yeah, but okay. As far as I know, you know, that's a good question. Whenever I try to log in with my Skype, it always crashes. So.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, so they haven't fixed it from my phone yet.
It's not working on the Epic yet.
Yeah, not yet, but I'm not too worried about it. But we do have the other one. What's a Quick?
Right.
Quick works really well. So.
But that only interfaces with other Quick users, right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah. But Skype only interfaces with other Skype,
correct,
users. So it's,
correct.
Yeah. How about
so
that?
Much. So much.
Too much. We get tired too. Don't worry.
Yeah. Well, what else do we have, Adam?
Well, in case you're getting tired of the SDHC compact, okay, flash format. That's the little format that fits in your camera card.
Mm-hmm.
If you've been thinking, I need an opportunity or an excuse to buy a new camera,
mm-hmm,
because really my 32-gigabyte SD card just isn't enough to hold all the pictures I take every week. You know,
right,
thousands of pictures.
Sure.
Or video. Several companies have now announced that's a compact flash card. Oh, my gosh. Did you know compact flash cards still exist?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
There's still a few SLRs, right, that,
okay,
still use it.
Well, a few older ones. Most of them now Most of them now have compact flash or SD cards. Anyway,
okay.
SanDisk just announced 128-gigabyte compact flash card, which isn't, you know, that's okay. Apparently, it's super fast and all that stuff. 100 megabytes per second UDMA 7 writing. So that is pretty fast. It's $14.99. $1,499 for 128 gigabyte of flash card. Now, the other thing is
maybe
that,
you know, they have a picture of a movie clap there. Maybe that's for...
Oh, yeah. I bet it is for the HD video recording. That would make more sense.
Maybe there's some higher end, yeah.
That would make more sense. I'd understand that. Now, anyway, but there is the new... I was looking for it. It's called something like SDXD format. That's the new... that's the new SD format. Looks exactly the same. Fits in all your devices.
But it says XD.
Older cameras can't read it. It says SDXD instead of SD.
Because remember, we have those little XDs from Olympus and
Fuji. Yeah, let me make sure that's right. I think that's right. Let's look here real quick.
Boy, our podcast really has become, unfortunately, but I think people, there's no way to get around it, I think, anymore, has really become a menage of acronyms and initials.
We're trying not to, but you know what? It's just going to happen. Let me see here.
I haven't been.
Oh my gosh, look at all these camera announcements. Here we go. Oh no, it's the SDXC format.
Okay. Cross country. So there we go. You're cross country runners.
So think of it as standard, or it's a, shoot, what is SD?
Serial digital.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know what it is.
SD card. It's an SD card, but it has XC on it. Because it writes faster and holds more information. 128 gigs. This is a much more practical way of doing it. $399 for a 128 gig card, which is really low for an entry level. Usually that $1,500 amount isn't unusual for a new format like this. So,
well, so you, I bought a 16 gig.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was $399 for the 64 gig. It's $699 for the 128.
Yeah, because I bought my daughter a 16 gigabyte.
Right.
Card for, I think, $50.
Oh, yeah. And I, you know, I've seen them on sale during the holidays for $25 and $30.
But,
so.
this is newer, higher speed writing.
Much faster. I'm looking at, it's only 20 megabits a second compared to megabytes.
I think
big,
it's
big B.
Yeah.
Is it big B? If they do it right, it's supposed to be capital M is mega, and then little b is bits, big B is bytes.
Right.
People don't ever follow that the way they're supposed to. So I don't know. It says megabytes per second, but we'd have to figure that out. Anyway, but that's much slower than that new
the
compact flash card.
The key is that hard drives of just a few years ago are now being put on the size of something, a stamp.
Yeah.
The size of something of a stamp.
Yep.
And it won't, unless you... submerse it in ice water for 30 days or step on it with steel-toed boots, it's going to it's going to last you a long time.
Or you're recording for a full 2 hours with a on the highest resolution HD format video. You don't really need all that fancy stuff. Just
now,
to
speaking
get a 16 gig
video,
card.
Unfortunately, I'm being thrust more and more into it because people are starting to do it. But one thing, just one little amateur tip that I'm going to throw out here on the podcast for video editing, whether you're using your camera, whether you're using a digital video camera, whether you're using a flip phone, whatever you're using, a flip photo thing, it behooves you not to just push the record button and forget about it.
Right.
It really behooves you to do things in sections.
Right.
Because when you it'll not only make it faster for transferring it to your computer, but it'll also make editing easier.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
if you're trying to edit a 2 hours, Adam just talked about, HD size video, it's going to take a gargantuan amount of computing power and time to load that kind of a file into your editing program.
Right. For example, if you're going to your son's or grandson's football game, don't just put the tripod up and record the whole football game. After every play, stop it.
That's right.
At every play, start it.
You don't have
it.
To see the huddle. The huddles all look
the huddles
same.
Don't matter. There's not going to be any. Don't say, oh, but what if a meteor hits in the middle of the game and I don't have. Don't worry about it. It's probably not going to happen.
Somebody else left it on.
Definitely don't record halftime unless your kids are in the band. You know, and if they are in the band, don't record the rest of the football game. So
if there's a timeout, you can take 10 seconds or 30 seconds of them drinking out of the water bottle. You don't need the entire 2 minute timeout.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the cheerleaders, you know, you can zoom right in on them and videotape them as much as you want, but only while they're doing something. So you know, there's a lot of stuff going on.
You might
want
to get them drinking water also.
Maybe in the huddle.
But seriously, yeah. Think about editing on your camera. Just think about making those clips.
And think about watching it. I always think about watching it.
That's the hardest thing, I think, for an amateur.
Am I going to sit down and watch this?
Yeah.
And you might say, well, someday we're going to have a lazy afternoon.
Someday never comes.
No, it's not going to happen. Someday you might decide to put it in and watch little segments of, you know, a video that's well edited and interesting. That's it.
Well, that's the thing. And less is always more. You just got to think about that with anything. Less is always more. And when it comes to video, there's nothing that applies more than less is more. So keep that in mind. I'm going to go back to the email just for a second. This one is from Dorothy in Georgia, and it melds right into our conversation on SD. She's trying to copy pictures from her computer to her SD memory card so she can load it into her digital frame. There's another thing that's coming up a lot is digital frames. I wonder how many of those were bought.
Which I think are on the way out.
You think so?
I think so.
And why do you think
we'll see
that?
Near as many next year.
TV?
Watching the show. I mean, they're getting cheaper for sure. Mm. But I think that the novelty is worn off. So I think there will be. I'm not saying that they're going to disappear. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that I think, let's get grandma a digital
there
frame.
There were a lot of those couple years ago.
A couple years ago. Yeah. GPS. Two or 3 years ago, there were a bunch.
GPS and digital frames. Yeah. That was exciting.
Exactly. They still exist. They're still going to be out there, but they're not going to be. I think they're going to be a $50 to $75 item that that you see a lot of. You're not going to see a lot of name brand ones.
Here's my prediction. Prediction is that by 2013, I'm going to put my prediction out there 2 years.
Well, that's pretty good. Yeah,
2 years. 2013, that smart TVs. Now, this is something you're starting to hear more about.
Right.
Smart TVs are and DVD players.
Right.
I've been hearing a couple of people this holiday season already have called up and said, hey, for Christmas, I got a DVD that connects to the internet.
Right.
And so what I'm predicting is by 2013, we've got these great little Android tablets coming out. The iPad has been a huge hit. I think even bigger than Apple could have imagined.
Right.
I think that I'm using this little MacBook Air, very small, thin little laptop. And the TVs that are coming out and being released as we speak with all of their smart technology built in to be able to stream video from the internet, stream audio from the internet, browse files from your computer in many cases. My prediction. I'm going to go to the end of 2013, so I'm going to give myself 3 years.
Okay, good. All right.
I'm going to say within the next 3 years, and this is to tie in with Adam's digital frame, your TV, which has been the focal point, let's face it, for many, many families' homes, has been the focal point of their living room.
Right.
There's a big TV there. And I think that the TV is going to become the media hub for everything. And that way you can leave your TV on and have it go to a screensaver of your photos.
Right.
And because a lot of people, I go to people's homes all day long. They leave their TV on all day. They're not even watching it.
Right.
It's just on.
Right.
It's just background noise. And it's and since I don't have a TV on all day long, it kind of, it's distracting to me because if the TV's on, I want to watch the TV.
Right, sure.
But I think that's what's going to happen. I think because of Americans' love of TV, and that love has been spread around the world, I think, and because 99% of American households have a TV, this technology is getting cheaper and cheaper. No matter if you have a 19-inch or you have a 99-inch television, I think they're all going to have that same technology built in.
Hmm.
What do you think? Am I going way out on a limb?
No, I don't think so. I'm just
too far out on a limb?
What I'm curious about, net neutrality has a lot to do with this. And I think if we end up with net neutrality problems and we are no longer able to get cheap, fast internet, you know, unless we pay a premium, I think it's going to change things totally. But I think if we can keep cheap internet, fast internet, and it only gets faster and it only gets better, in other words, free market without net neutrality stuff, if it's allowed to do what it wants to do, I can see the cloud becoming the hub. I can see something like Boxy combined with Dropbox.
Right. What's on
something where all your stuff gets stored in the cloud.
But instead of sitting in front of my computer, I think we're going to sit on a TV.
I think it's going to be ubiquitous. I think that we're not. I don't think anything's going to disappear. I just think it's going to be like this digital photo frame tops into the Boxy Dropbox system, or
through a couple of button pushes.
Through a couple button pushes, and I think everything will have a keyboard on the remote control that you'll be able to surf the real internet with it. I think all that stuff's coming, but I don't think there's going to be a central point. I think it's just going to be that any device you get is going to be able to tap into the Boxy type system or the Netflix type system, and Picasso, you know, you store your photo albums. Picasso albums. Mm-hmm. But I don't know whether it will be one
Facebook photos.
Exactly. I don't know. I kind of doubt that it's going to be one repository where everything gets stored.
I agree. No, I don't, yeah. I don't think that, but I think that the delivery.
Oh yeah. I think every device is going to be able to get to everything. And I think TV will be a big part of that. When you want to sit down and watch, you know, look at your pictures, or you want to watch a movie, you know, all that stuff.
You brought up net neutrality. Let's talk about that just for a second.
Right.
Now, net neutrality is a term that was born.
I don't know who coined the phrase. So,
but there is talk about whether or not to implement an actual law about net neutrality.
Right.
Now,
and they keep trying it. Yeah.
They keep trying it. What is your understanding of how this is going to work, or what it means
at this moment right now?
Yes.
I think that where we stand, and I may be wrong. You're not an expert in this. I'm not an expert in this. So, you know, you're listening to two non-experts. If you want to be an expert in this, you're going to be really boring to be around if you learn too much about this stuff. So be careful. But where it stands right now is the FCC now has been given regulatory or regulative authority over the internet. Right now, the FCC is basically saying the internet's free and all of that. But because the FCC now has that authority, or has been basically, the courts and everybody have said, yes, the FCC has the authority to do that. That means that we get the wrong FCC chairman in there, or the wrong FCC people with whole different motives in there, then they could begin putting regulatory restrictions onto what can be done with the internet, who can use it, how much it costs, whether or not one person holds all the pipelines, whether the government holds the pipelines, whether, you know, I mean, there's just a lot of stuff there. And of course, I'm speaking in general terms because nobody knows exactly where it's going to go from here. What we'd like to have, or what the net neutrality people would prefer to have, is that nobody has any regulatory authority over it other than the names that can be used and all of that, that anybody can use it the same.
Right. Let the market speak.
Right. And right now the FCC is kind of holding it in that way. But, right, you know, you give the government entity authority over something and they're going to want to use it at some point. And that's what we have to worry about.
Well, and I think it comes down to me again being very anti-rules.
Right.
I like as few rules as possible. Give me some guidelines.
Right.
Let me use my own intelligence and my own moral compass, to stay within those guidelines. Yeah. It kind of, as we talk about net neutrality, it kind of reminds me of a very disturbing story here in Colorado. I am no way an anti-hunter.
Right.
I have a lot of friends who hunt.
Sure.
I understand hunting.
Sure.
But there was a horrific story here in Colorado about a bear hunt.
I didn't hear that.
You didn't hear about this one?
No.
It's so disturbing. I don't know if I want to talk about it on the podcast. For me, as a person who's like to think of myself as looking at common sense as a guidance.
Right.
And looking towards the greater impact of everything.
Sure.
But basically, the long and short of it is, there was a hunter here in Colorado who went in and took a huge 9-foot bear while he was sleeping in his den.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
He tracked him to his den, waited till he fell asleep, and then went in and shot him and then posed with it.
Of course.
And acted like it was this big... Right.
And then mounted it growling.
He will. That's what he said. He said it, and then everybody's kind of up in arms about the fact that he didn't really hunt this thing. He stalked it and then I think most hunters, the thrill of the hunt is the thing. But if you go in and you know the bear is asleep and he's hibernating.
Right.
And you shoot something.
Right.
Come on. I mean, that's like going to the packing house and saying, all right, I'm going to shoot me a cow today.
Right.
And then you come out with a half a side of beef that they've already prepared for you.
Sure.
That's my kind of analogy.
I understand.
But anyway, that's kind of what, to me, net neutrality is. If we leave it alone, it'll grow and do what it needs to do. But if we go in there and shoot it before it's matured, I think that we're going to we're just doing the wrong thing.
Right. We just don't know what it. Yeah, I really think so too. It's not right now. It's such a channel for everything. You can make it do anything you want. And if we start saying, no, the only internet is only for email, unless you pay more money, the internet's only for email. And then if you want to pay a little bit more money, then you can see websites. Or if you go to Bresnan and you can, you know, or Comcast, you can see this sort of content, but you have to pay extra for it if you use this other service. You know, that's where we start getting some problems.
And the funny thing is the net neutrality, if you search for it on the web, there's lots of crazy information out there, and it can be confusing.
Yeah.
About what side of net neutrality do you want to be on?
Yeah. I think even the term is a little bit frustrating because you don't know whether you're pro or anti net neutrality.
Exactly.
It's neutral internet is basically what it is. So it's not used for one specific thing. It's there and it's available to be used in any way.
Well,
I guess you
could also talk about it in terms of being on the highways, our highway systems.
Right.
Let's say if you paid to use the interstates,
right,
a higher price, you would be allowed to use the interstates.
Right.
If you did not pay the higher price, you would have to take the two-lane highways that take you 2 or 3 hours out of the roadway.
Right. But even so, more so with net neutrality, it's that only the highways go to the malls.
Right.
So you can't even go to the malls unless
you... Some of the roads will only go...
Exactly.
Right.
If you can take all the back roads you want to, but you can only get to...
Certain spots
certain
on
stores.
Certain roads.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't you think that'd be another analogy?
I think that's
a
great analogy.
So
yeah.
I did see there's one I pulled up here. I'd love to be able to watch this. In fact, we might watch it when we're done with the podcast. There's John Hodgman talking to...
Oh, good.
Talking to John... what's his
name? Yeah, Stewart.
Stewart. John Stewart about net neutrality.
Cool.
So that ought to be funny. But anyway, well, Adam, I think we've rambled for quite a long time here. We've answered a few emails. I think this is our Get Our Feet Wet in 2011
yep.
podcast. So I'm ready to call it.
Yeah, it sounds good.
If you're ready to call it.
Yeah, no problem. We'll have more of a wrap-up next week of stuff that happened at CES and
yes.
what you missed.
Anything that
we'll talk about the new the iPad 2s that have been announced at that time. And
today's the very first day of the CES.
Of real
floor.
CES. Now, everything, yesterday was all the press conferences.
Right.
So
have
most
you heard
of them,
anything just fabulous from yesterday?
No. There's a few. Samsung came out with a super thinner than the MacBook Air laptop, but mm-hmm. I didn't read much about it. I know
really?
That happened. Motorola now is announced two Android tablets that look really nice.
Mm-hmm. Android tablets.
Android tablets.
I was thinking netbooks. I'm sorry. So
yeah,
tablet.
Two Android okay. tablets, and mm-hmm. also the Samsung Galaxy Tab now is a Wi-Fi only device for $399. I think that's what the price was. So you can get a Wi-Fi only Galaxy Tab. And I was trying to think if there's anything else, but there's not a lot more stuff. I think the Apple store, which has nothing to do with CES at all, is one of the biggest stories going right now. But yeah, that's where we're at. There's all sorts of announcements. I'm not even going to begin to getting into all the announcements. We're going to have to wait a week to see what the good stuff is since we're not there this year.
Out.
Hopefully next year we'll be there and be able to cover the device live. We'll have our cell phones running. We'll be doing live blogging. You know, we were live blogging before live blogging was cool.
We did. We've always tried to experiment with. Well, it's always our desire to get things to our web visitors as quickly as possible.
And we were Twittering before there was a Twitter to tweet on.
Yeah, and it was we were almost cutting edge.
Oh, is Text America even still around?
That's a good question. That's a good question.
We used to use a little mobile blogging service called Text America that lets you text in something and it would post it up on this little live blog.
Mm-hmm. Including pictures.
Including pictures. Yeah, you could put all kinds of stuff
text
up there.
Text America is
man, that
no
was,
longer out.
Oh,
it's
man.
Gone.
That was 7 years ago, probably, that we were doing
yeah.
that stuff.
We even interviewed the guy.
Twitter's like 3 years old, I think. So, 3 or 4. So.
But that was when smartphones were...
Smartphones was Palm, mm-hmm. and that was about it. You had a few
The Wikipedia
Windows
link says
things.
Text America was the first online photo album or Moblog. That's what they called it.
Moblog. Yep.
Mobile blog.
Yep, and then Moblog came out. Moblog.com, we had one there. We've been playing with this stuff forever. Man. And
making zero money
Making zero money, yeah. And Leo Laporte makes $40 per 1,000 listeners. So That's how that works. Anyway, moving on. We've got all kinds of stuff going next week. We'll talk about CES. We'll also, I think we should talk about a few predictions for the coming year. We did that a little bit on this episode, but
I gave myself 3 years.
We'll throw some of those at the, well, yeah, there you go. We'll throw some of those at you next week, and we'll discuss. I'm sure by that time we'll know more about the iPad 2. I think that's inevitable at this point. So
good.
Okay.
Well, hopefully it is even less inevitable by next week.
Right.
Or more. I guess we want it to be more inevitable. We want to see results.
We don't want it to be inevitabler.
That's right.
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in this week. We will hopefully get nothing but better over the next year. I think we will. And
I think
Happy New Year.
Over the 10 years we've been doing this show, I think every year we've been doing better.
I think so.
Find us at helpmerick.com. You can also find Rick at Twitter, on Twitter, at helpmerick. And we also publish this podcast at talkingdigital.org. And you can find me, Adam Cochran, on Twitter at talkingdigital. So that's us. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. And we will be back again soon. Talking Digital.